This Fab FM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
So I got this job as a copy boy at the Australian newspaper. It was called a copy boy, but it was basically a messenger boy. The job went to anyone with a motorbike because there was a small petrol allowance that made, and they thought it was went further. And basically, it was a delivery boy. I took copy from these legends of journalism in the Parliamentary Press Gallery to the city office of the Australian, where it was printed and sent up to Sydney at that stage. So I basically, I'd always been interested in politics, and I only ever reported politics all my career, but suddenly I was in and out of the Parliamentary Press Gallery carrying all this copy. I got very excited. I just loved the watching these legends at work and everything. And then a great bloke, I fluked a job on a little paper called the Canberra News, a very short-lived afternoon paper in Canberra. A little tabloid started up by the Fairfaxes to counter Max Newton, who at the time was threatening to start up a newspaper in competition with the Canberra Times. That paper only lasted 4 years, but I was on it for 2 years, and I got a job then on the Melbourne Sun News Pictorial, as it was then.
Ooh,
now the Herald Sun.
The big smoke.
Laurie Oakes hired me, actually.
Laurie Oakes hired you?
Yep, had a long lunch at the lobby with Laurie. I can't remember much about the lunch, but I got the job. And I started in the Parliamentary Press Gallery, this is, back in the dark ages, on the Monday, the following Saturday, December the 2nd, 1972, Gough Whitlam got elected. But the press gallery was empty. This was funny, because all of the reporters were out on the campaign trail. So I sat pretty much alone in the Sun News Pictorial's office for a week in the Parliamentary Press Gallery looking for something to do till they all stormed in on Friday night before the vote that put Gough in.
Wow.
Mm, it was a fantastic time.
Because that was part of history. You would have been part of history.
It was. Very exciting time. And I was pretty junior in the gallery at the time, of course, but it was pretty exciting. A couple of years on the Sun, and then I got a job with The Age in Canberra. Les Carlan, the legendary editor who died recently, hired me.
Yeah. A
few years in Canberra on The Age, then The Age sent me to Brisbane to open a Brisbane bureau that was jointly funded by The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. That was one of the best jobs I ever had. A long way from head office, the freewheeling days, Joe Bielke running amok. It was a terrific story. I was there for the when Joe got elected in his own right. All those colourful characters, Russ Hinds.
Bunch of crooks.
Russ. Colourful. I said colourful, yep.
Colourful. Yeah, well, they were. I mean, Russ Hinds and all those are all taking brown paper bags.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very interesting time, wasn't it?
It was. It was a fantastic time, actually, especially as I didn't have to. I wasn't committed to the daily coverage, the grind of the administration of Queensland.
Yeah.
I only did what interested them in Melbourne, and it was terrific.
Yeah, terrific. So newspaper days?
That were the newspapers. Then I went back to Melbourne to work for The Age, reporting state politics then. And that was the first time I'd actually worked in Melbourne for anybody. I'd been recruited in Canberra and worked there in Brisbane. So I went down to The Age for a few more years. Then got picked up by John Sorrell, the legendary news boss at Channel 9 in Melbourne. And went across there as a reporter. I was there for a few years before Nine opened a Hong Kong bureau. And I was sent up there. And by this time, Alan Bond had taken over the network.
No, yes, that's right. Packer had sold it to him.
That's right.
And I can remember when he bought it back, because he sold it to him for some ridiculous amount of money. Yeah. And he always said, I understand. It came from a pretty good source. They tell me that he said to Bond as he was walking out, I'll be back, Bondy. I'll be back and I will buy it off you cheaper than what you've paid me for it. You've paid through the nose. And guess what he did?
That's what happened.
That's exactly what happened. Because a very smart cookie, Kerry Packer. Very smart cookie.
Oh, indeed. Bond went broke. What was supposed to be a three-year appointment turned into an eight-month appointment, so I came back to Melbourne. And then I went to Channel 7 as news director at Channel 7 in Melbourne.
Mm.
And I was there for 5 years, another year in Sydney. That was difficult with family in Melbourne and commuting and all that stuff. It wasn't my best year. And then I went back to Nine, again on the road as back reporting politics.
So
again.
Seven and Nine, you do yeah, a, doing right. one flip-flop.
Yep. End yeah. of my career at Nine, and my media career at Nine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Well, you work for both of the networks. I just added it up. I have worked for Channel 7 Network, for every decade since the 1960s. So I worked for them in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s and the noughties.
In different roles.
In different roles and, you know, in different places and different shows and what have you. But I've worked for Channel 7 every single decade since
Fantastic.
I started in the media. And I have a real soft spot for Channel 7. They've paid for houses. They've paid,
yes.
paid for divorces. They've paid for children's education. They've paid for a lot. I mean, you really, when you look back on it, you know, the media's been very good to me, and it sounds like the media's been pretty good to you.
Oh, yes. Look, it was the golden era. It's much tougher now.
Oh, it is tough.
Much tougher now. And look, the people working in television news these days, they work so hard, and there are so many bulletins to commit to. It's round-the-clock virtual news these
it
days.
It is, but they have it easier in one way. They have the digital age.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes it... Because I can remember, and you may remember, the days of... I had to go as a cameraman out to the airport to get the film that had been sent from overseas a couple of days earlier. So when we put it on, and then get it back to the station, hurriedly get it on down to Telecine and see news that was 3 or 4 days old.
Oh, yeah. I never worked with film. I worked with tape. Which is now, you know, Stone Age.
It's Stone Age now,
But the round-the-clock bulletins and the work the young TV reporters do, it's a tough grind. And it's so rushed these days that they get, you know, like if you're reporting politics, you have to know your subject because there's simply no pause for reflection and research. They just have to go.
Yep. Well, the good thing about it, once again, the digital age provides then Google. They're able to check facts of stories that happened previously. They can even check their own stories that are often on podcasts and that sort of thing. But I agree with you, they work very hard. Okay, before we get to what you're doing these days, I want to talk about your early days. I always love finding out from people. We're talking to David Broadbent, by the way, a journalist, news director, media man, now retired, and we'll get to the media training in a minute. But I always want to find out where you started. Now, where were you born?
I was born in Maroopna.
Hello? Where?
Maroopna. Maroopna.
Where the hell is that?
It's a town in central Victoria, north central Victoria, 110 miles, as we used to say, due north from Melbourne.
Okay, so what's another town near
Shepparton.
It?
Near Shepparton.
Yeah, now I know
but
where it is.
It's across the river from Shepparton, and that's a light year from Shepparton, and it was when I was a child. Yes. I used to say to people in Canberra, Maroopna was to Shepparton what Queanbeyan is to Canberra.
Or Wodonga is to Albury. The same.
Well, much smaller scale than that.
Well, no, it's funny. Wodonga and Albury, they do have a rivalry when you cross to the other side.
It was a small town, but my father was a chemist in Maroopna.
Right.
And
was there any chance you'd grow up to be the chemist?
Look, I was too innumerate to... be a chemist. I was so pathetic at math and stuff. No, I was always too dreamy.
Me too.
Yeah.
We dreamt of other things and adventures and over the other side of the hill.
Yeah.
No, fantastic. So, okay, so you went to the local school.
To the Maroopna Primary School and a couple of years at Shep High School before I went down to boarding school in Melbourne.
So you were a boarding school person.
Yes, yep.
How did you feel about that? I never went to boarding school, but I think I would have been very homesick as a boarder.
Well, it's funny. I was for a few weeks when I got there, but I had four older sisters, which was very lucky, and they had all been to boarding school before me. So it was just an assumption that I was going, and a couple of mates who I'd known from primary school also went to the same school. So he went before I did. So it was just happening. It was not, you know, it wasn't a shock. Not like my older sister, who was 10 years older than I, who must have been pretty testing for her, packed off from Maroopna to boarding school back in the day.
Yeah. And then, of course, your career went into the media. Now, before we get to that media training, which is the final part here, why are you and Rosemary in our part of the world? And you've been up here for quite a while.
Yeah, 5 weeks. And
sadly,
today's our last day. We go back tomorrow. We've been coming up. Oh, Paul, we love the place. We've been coming up for years and years. I've lost count of how many times we've come up. And every time we've said to each other, we've got to stay longer. It's usually a week, 2 weeks. But Rosemary, my wife, has finally retired. She's sold her very successful fabric importing business, at last, we can spend this sort of time up here.
Good.
And so next year, we're up for 8 weeks.
Oh, there you go. You're getting longer and longer until we eventually get you here full time.
We love that place. Truly, we used to go to Noosa a lot.
Yeah.
Melbourne summers are so erratic, as you know, but Melbourne winters are terrible. But we love it. We've always loved it. You know, it's grown hugely, but I don't think we've had a single unpleasant experience. No, wait for it. I don't think we've met a single unpleasant person in Port Douglas over 25 years or something. I think it's fantastic.
No, it is. It's a wonderful place. And when I first arrived up here, I said to Marion, because usually it takes you a week or so to unwind, particularly if you've been working in a pressure job like the media at times. But I would come up here and within a few hours I was relaxed. It's almost like it's a zen feel up here. It's a beautiful, relaxed feel, particularly in Port Douglas, not so much in Cairns because that's a little Gold Coasty, but up here in this village feel, it is so relaxed. We have no traffic light. You know, we don't have traffic lights here.
Yeah, and on that drive from the airport, you just feel it dropping away.
Beautiful.
And look at that sea. It's fantastic.
It is.
And it's a friendly town. And, I play tennis here a lot. There's a fabulous local tennis club.
And you play golf, because I heard your name in our golf report from the Mirage Country Club. Did you get a hole in one?
No.
What did you get?
I fluked a nearest to the pin.
Oh, nearest to the
one
pin.
One of the par threes,
right, okay.
Yes. But anyway, I got a nice voucher and bought a Mirage Country Club polo shirt.
So. We love the Mirage Country Club. They bring us the first hour of the sports show tomorrow night between 4 and 6.
So do I love it.
Okay, now, finishing up, you now do media training.
Yes, I'm...
Are you loving that? Are you enjoying that?
Poacher turned gamekeeper, or gamekeeper turned poacher, or something like that. Look, after I left Channel 9, I did a stretch in government, in the state public service.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, just briefly, yes. I'm not sorry, I learned a lot, actually. Brief stints in at the arts, education, and briefly in the Premier's Department, and then in the Department of Economic Development. But so now I'm a media consultant, and I...
No, that was for the government stuff.
Yeah, right. Now, I know. I used to hold media training in contempt. I thought it was the devil and the opponent and all that.
Right.
But I really do enjoy it, and I think it's a good thing to do.
You train business people?
And fringe government people, statutory authorities and stuff.
You'd have tons of work.
Don't talk about my clients, because there's a huge... It requires a lot of confidentiality. People don't want people to know they're being media trained. They just like to look like they're getting better.
So who do you train?
I think it's good for everybody if people know how to deal with the media, how to help the media, how not to... feel victimized or get it wrong. But and this is the biggest cliche of the lot. Best sort of spin that anyone talks about is the truth well told, and getting people to be able to tell the truth.
Transparency. Absolutely. If you have had to give somebody the best media advice, if they're not media people and they have to face the media, say there's a knock on the door. Hello? Current affair here, need to have a chat to you. What would you say that they should say?
Well, look, it depends on so many circumstances, but even in the worst circumstances.
Well, they've stuffed up. The company is stuffed up, and the reporters are there at the door with the mic and the camera, and you would say to them?
I would say, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your interest. I'm not talking to you right here on my door. Could you please give me half an hour and meet me at my office?
For a sit down?
Yes. And, you know, that would defuse it, I hope, so they don't say, no, we want it now, we don't, I mean, because best television is the television where they actually give you some information, except where, oh, no, look, I'm contradicting myself here, TV will frequently go for the circus rather than the...
I agree, but I have always, when I've always conducted myself with that stuff, I would rather have a sit-down interview with that person than some stupid thing at the door.
Yep.
And I've often said to people, they say, well, you know, could I sit down with you on this and you scrub this bit? I said, absolutely. If you sit down with me now, we won't use this part. Because I'd rather have a sit-down interview and get the truth and the facts so that it's a better story.
Than a spectacle of
somebody slamming a door. I mean, that just lasts for a couple of seconds. But with an interview, you can actually get the facts.
Hopefully this person's already taken some advice before this knock on the door, because they must know it's coming, generally.
Exactly. All right, well, thank you, David Broadbent. It's been a terrific interview. Now, I've got to ask you, and I did ask you yesterday, so I have prepared earlier, a song. Now, it was very interesting because I thought, what sort of song would you be interested in? And it turns out, folks, we're going to get a little bit of culture towards the end of my program. Tell them what you wanted me to play. Play it entirely because I can't be here for the next 4 hours.
I know. Look, it was a tough question. What single song would you take to an island? Because there's too many. I mean, brought up in the Beatles, the Stones and all that. And I learnt the piano as a child, a classical piano. But for lifetime listening with one song, I chose Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto. He only wrote one. Which goes for about 20 minutes. It's got about four movements. It was famously known as the unplayable once because it was so difficult. Panned at the time like a piece of ridiculous modern music, absolutely. And so here it is.
David Broadbent, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.